WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he'll sue the White House over its efforts to send California National Guard members to Portland, Oregon. It comes after a federal judge earlier this weekend blocked the deployment of Oregon's own Guard troops to that city. Another day and still no deal to open the government. Democrats are looking to undo cuts to Medicare, and Senator Cory Booker tells ABC's This Week it's an unprecedented point in U.S. history.
We are, for the first time in America ever, we're on a moment where, because of Donald Trump's attacks on Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, on the verge of tens of millions of Americans losing their health care and most of Americans experiencing a significant rise in their health care costs.
Republicans are demanding a clean bill funding the government into November. And investigators are still searching for the suspects in yesterday's mass shooting in Montgomery, Alabama. Police say one individual was being targeted, but it spiraled into a larger incident. This is ABC News. Indirect talks are set to begin this week, which could lead to the release of the remaining Israeli hostages, officials say. President Trump says phase one of his plan could be completed by the end of the week. ABC's Brian Clark has more.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the talks in Egypt are the closest we've come to getting hostages released, but there are opportunities for sabotage.
So no one said this is going to be easy. This is good progress, but a lot of work remains.
He said time is of the essence.
This cannot take weeks or even multiple days. We want to see this happen very fast. If it doesn't, then I think the entire deal becomes imperiled.
Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, are part of the U.S. delegation in Egypt. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Flash flooding in Salt Lake City and the surrounding region this weekend. Rainfall totaled nearly 2.5 inches, the most one-day rain recorded in the city since 1901. All that rain having nowhere to go, leading to flooded roadways, soccer fields, and buildings. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
The crew clobbers the Cubs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting ready for game two of their playoff series with the Cubs a little after 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3 thanks to scoring six runs in the first inning against Cubs starter Matthew Boyd, who only lasted an inning. After the loss, Cubs manager Craig Counsell was asked.
Craig, even though he threw 58 pitches, is 3 days rest always that dicey sort of situation no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, we picked Matt Boyd to pitch. I don't know what to say. He pitched. He pitched. It didn't go well. We got to make decisions. I was very comfortable putting Matt Boyd on the mound.
The Brewers' Jackson Chourio had to leave the game after running to first to beat the throw. Pat Murphy.
He's getting the MRI right now. You know, obviously it's real scary having that same hamstring injury to the same leg.
College football, the Badgers started a new quarterback, Hunter Simmons, who led the team on an opening scoring drive, but Wisconsin losing at Michigan 24-10. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and storms, a low around 49. Monday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Clear skies Monday night, chilly with lows in the mid to upper 30s. Sunshine 65 on Tuesday, mid-30s Tuesday night, a little on the frosty side. Right now, it's 65.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Well.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time, creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning.
Happy Friday, Jane. Happy Friday, Greg. Always wonderful to join you here on Matinair on Air.
Glad to have you in studio. By the way, we do know now that the Brewers will be hosting the Cubbies tomorrow.
How are you doing, Greg?
I can't function.
He's riddled with anxiety.
You're wearing the Brewers gear. You're ready for the weekend. The Cubbies are coming to town.
Why do you hurt me with every word you say?
It was stating facts.
It was such a You're right. You are an award-winning journalist, and facts are your stock and trade. It's also the problem that I wore a hoodie today with no backup plan, and it's very warm. So I feel like I'm being hugged by a nap right now, because I'm just like, yeah, this is Trump is terrible. Yeah,
you're in a slow cooker of sorts here. Yeah.
Brewers and the Cubbies tomorrow. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. The first pitch will go out at 1:05. You can listen to the game, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. So, among the Civic Media stations that will be carrying the game, WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. So, Brewers and Cubbies tomorrow, our broadcast will start at 12:35. Dan, we're going to start off with some spry 83-year-old.
Governor's race 2026, Wisconsin.
Now flirting with jumping into the Wisconsin governor's race. Tommy Thompson must be lonely or bored or something.
Can it be both, Jane?
Could be both.
Well, so, okay, I'm pulling up the headline here. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported yesterday, Tommy Thompson, the former longtime Wisconsin governor, seriously considering another run in 2026. We're going through this cycle again.
Apparently so.
Because a few months ago, he hadn't ruled it out.
Yes.
That was I haven't ruled it out. And I felt like that came with a big wink, like, I just want a headline today. So
yes.
Now it's come to this.
Tommy Thompson, the former governor, considering another run. Now, let's recall that Tommy Thompson has not served in Wisconsin in elected office since 2001, when he joined the first term of George W. Bush's administration. He ran for Senate in 2012 and lost to Tammy Baldwin. That was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Tommy Thompson is 83 years old. He is 10 years older than Tony Evers. He is older than Joe Biden.
And Donald Trump.
And Donald Trump.
How long was he governor? He was governor for not even 16 years. Because he did four terms, but he left in the middle of his fourth term.
1987 to 2001.
He has been out of office as governor longer than he was actually in office as governor. So that also, I mean, all of these pieces here, I personally just feel like there's going to be someone who walks up to him and says, you're not doing this.
And I think it's clear that he's obviously not going to be doing this, right? This is just a headline grab. He's not really considering that he's running for governor. It's just like he likes to play this game, I think.
Yeah. So he, like,
you know,
he
did an interview on WTMJ and said this, and I think he just likes to, he likes to goof around with the press. He likes to say these things,
please,
and it's going to get a headline. Because he's Tommy Thompson, it's going to get a headline.
Please,
right?
Call me and interview me. I'm bored.
I'm available, yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
And that's the thing, too. If he put himself out to one of the news networks, whether it was, you know, one of the talk news networks, and say, hey, I'd love to be a regular contributor, or write a story, or be a monthly guest to talk about what's going on, I think many of those stations would hop at the opportunity.
That's a great point. Sure.
And there are so many ways of being him be staying in the spotlight, in the headlines, rather than every 4 months going, you never know, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're right. It's funny because when I read, because a few months ago it was hasn't ruled it out. And we sat here like we are today saying, this is dumb. And now he's saying seriously considering. And I think when I listen to you talk, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Grandpa's just having some fun because Grandpa gets headlines.
He's just goofing around with this. This is
goofy old
very
Tommy.
Unserious. But I guess it leads to Journal Sentinel headlines so he can stay in the mix. And I think he also, you know, he was very instrumental in Tim Michaels being the candidate 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, like, not fully, but he has a little bit of this kind of kingmaker, you know, wants to be the guy pulling the strings in the background, wants to be the guy who's very involved in this kind of stuff.
It didn't work out so well last
time. It didn't work out so well for Tim Michaels.
No.
And, you know, I think I actually talked to Tommy Thompson on the floor of the RNC last year, right after J.D. Vance's speech. And he was very effusive in his praise of J.D. Vance's speech at the RNC and all of that. I think, you know, he was there front row in the Wisconsin seats at the VP's speech.
Right.
Like he's very much wants to be in the mix for Wisconsin stuff. And, you know, he's earned that. Right. I mean,
he wants to be a mover and shaker.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the question I have, and I feel like you can answer this better than anyone in the room, because you move in those halls where you're reporting the story, so you're talking to all sorts of people. If Tommy Thompson really wanted to be a mover and shaker and a kingmaker and all of those things, he would have been in Wisconsin and more visible. You know, like Reince Priebus and Robin Voss, you can say they are kingmakers. They are the people who hold the – like they are the ones who can – push the ship of the Wisconsin GOP if they wanted to.
Reince is holding a fundraiser in Milwaukee with Tom Tiffany tonight.
$20,000 for the Platinum Edition.
Yeah, yeah. All the big movers and shakers are coming.
But it feels like Tommy Thompson does more of the it's less about wanting to do the work. He just wants the recognition. And him thinking he's a kingmaker because of Tim Michaels, like, yeah, you've picked a loser. And you've been out of office for a very long time, but we don't see you kind of operating in, like, I don't see you around a lot. And a person who wants to be in power is around.
Well, you're out there shaking hands like Tom Tiffany was at the state fair.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants us to think he's from Wisconsin now. Like, he really wants us to think he's of Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany, with that hat and that farming look. Mm, love it.
And he can hold a fish.
He can hold a fish.
He can hold a fish.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess
one of the main qualifications for being governor in Wisconsin.
Apparently so.
According to some in conservative media.
Yeah, you got to be able to hold a fish.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're talking to Dan Schaefer, who is the political editor of Civic Media, as well as the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Always break down the news on Friday. Always happy to have him here. And we're talking about serious considerations for the governor's race of 2026. Now, that is a fun headline to talk about. There was another candidate who did enter the race.
Which race? I'm
governor's
losing
race.
Track.
You're
Are
right.
We doing governor's race?
In the governor's race, we have another candidate.
We get a
candidate.
New announcement for some sort
true.
Of campaign every single day.
It's true.
Which, if you subscribe to Civic Media Today, you've been hearing it. You've been seeing us read all about it. Hey, how about that for a plug?
Dan, how does someone get Civic Media Today in their, is it in their inbox?
In their inbox. You can subscribe to Civic Media Today on Substack.
Oh, wonderful.
It's absolutely free, just like the app. How many plugs can we work into this riff
here? We're doing good. We're doing well. We're going to hit a new record.
So governor's race. Missy Hughes was the latest Democrat mm-hmm. to launch her campaign for governor, launching it as, I believe, the kind of the first line of the ad that she launched was a Democrat that understands the economy. And I think that is the angle that she's going to take, as, you know, the previous job that she held resigned just a couple weeks ago before launching her campaign was as the CEO and secretary of the Wisconsin mm-hmm. Economic Development Corporation, yep. a position she's held since 2019. Prior to that, she was an executive at the Wisconsin-based company Organic Valley for 17 years. And so I think she's going to talk about that private sector experience. She's going to be talking about that experience at the WEDC. And I think that is, there is kind of an underexplored story with the WEDC more generally, because like under Scott Walker, it was constantly in the news for like allegations of corruption and pay to play and mismanagement. And they went through a whole bunch of different leaders and throughout Scott Walker's two terms as governor. Well, Missy Hughes has been kind of that role, stabilizing that organization for the past 6+ years here. And I think there is a story to be told about the turnaround of that, where it's not just like throwing big bucks at Foxconn, where it was, you know, having
small
much more
businesses.
A Main Street small yes. business focus for what that organization's been doing.
And I just think it's an important reminder for folks, because again, especially when it comes to the COVID years, we tend to have collective amnesia and forget mm-hmm. all the things that happened during those 2 years. Wisconsin's small businesses did much better than many, many other states in the country.
Yes.
Much better.
Wisconsin was in certain ways a leader, a national leader in those in shepherding those economic development funds to Main Street and small businesses. And I think, you know, that's a big, you know, feather in her cap for all
it
of this.
Is.
And I think just like the larger turnaround, like there were leader. I just under Walker, like I was a business news reporter at the time. So the WEDC was always in the news, and there was just like always, you know, they had this thing that went wrong and that thing that went wrong and this leader that resigned and that leader that got fired and this pay to play allegation and all of that. And we just haven't had like that type of environment around the WEDC at the same time under Hughes. And I think, you know, she's part of the Evers administration, so she will talk about that. And
so,
there's a lot going on there.
That's
yeah.
so interesting.
Oh, boy, here comes sarcasm.
Side by side comparisons. So, it's just, huh.
Well, and I think the other thing people should understand too and remember is that before Scott Walker, we didn't have a WEDC. We had a Department of Commerce that he closed right. down and created the WEDC, because what do Republicans love more than holding onto their money? Privatization. Mm-hmm. And this shows that a governor coming in who knows how to put the right people in charge can stabilize a corporation that we didn't need in the first place when you think about it, but now we do, mm-hmm. we have it. So that's it. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, the Missy Hughes story on top of the Scott Walker story, on top of the fact that we collapsed an entire department because they just wanted to, which kind of is what they're doing now in the national level.
I think that would be a really great story.
The side by side,
the side by side.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah. It's
are you assigning me a story, Jane? Is that what you're looking at me like?
Yeah,
that would be a great story. Are you busy? Do you have anything going on?
You know, it would be great if you. I have a great.
You can squish that.
It sounds like when people say, like, Greg, I have a joke you should use. Okay, so here's the deal. And I'm like, no!
I do want to share this on the live stream. Blue Gold 94 says, I agree. Tommy Thompson wants to be in the mix. The scary part is he doesn't care whether or not it's in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just wants to be in the spotlight again.
Yes.
He misses it. And misses it.
And it's unfortunate, too, because the level of regard that man has in this state. I mean, I always compare him to the Ronald Reagan of Wisconsin. People look at him with such great admiration. He could have been a great booming voice for GOP and conservative values. But unfortunately, to be a part of the GOP now, you cannot be the Tommy Thompson of then.
Yeah. A lot of folks forget that when the whole stadium thing was going on and funding the stadium and Tommy Thompson said, yeah, let's stick it to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people forgot that.
People have short memories.
Yes, they do. And we're here to remind you.
And if Tommy Thompson wants to relive old glory, he should just pull up his speech at Lambeau Field when he was clearly hammered speaking at the 50-yard line of the Packers Super Bowl celebration. Do you guys remember that
no.
one?
No.
Oh, man, it's a classic. You should pull that up on YouTube.
We'll have to look for
it. He clearly is a few old fashions deep talking about the Packers. It's wonderful.
I love this team. We have a little break coming up, and we're going to continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Sober Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep. Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Todd Alba later on today from 2 to 4 p.m. Pam Yonke, our friend, the fabulous farm babe. And director of the Midwest Farm Report. She's going to be joining Todd from the World Dairy Expo in Madison and talk about our farmers.
And she's on the show next week.
She is, yes. Pam Jonkey's going to be joining us as well. But join Todd today from 2 to 4. Don't forget, he'll have another keyword for you in our final day of the multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest.
And she always calls you kiddo.
She does.
She calls you kiddo, and
which is
I
so
love
adorable.
It.
Yeah. It's so I don't, and I think we're the same age.
How you doing, kiddo? And she she's one of those people. She's one of those. She called me sweetie or sweetheart. I'd be like, that's right. That makes sense.
I take that from
yeah,
her.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I love Pam Yonke.
Yeah, she's fabulous. So she will be joining Todd today at 2:35. Make sure you check that out. He joins us every Friday at this time, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationaria, Dan Schaefer, is here. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Tommy Thompson, now kind of flirting a little more openly with potentially jumping into the governor's race. He's just lonely. But we were talking about his appearance when the Packers won the Super Bowl.
I showed these guys a YouTube video that I would encourage all of you to go check out.
I had completely forgotten about that.
But go look up Tommy Thompson 1996 Packers Super Bowl. They had an event at Lambeau, and he gives a speech, and he is really sounding like a true Wisconsinite who is celebrating and enjoying himself.
He had a few beverages. He had a couple.
He sounds fine at first, and then he hits one word, and you're like, oh,
dear.
There it is.
Troy from Mount Horeb texting in, I was at the stadium for that. Tommy Thompson said it was because of the cold.
Oh, yes.
And it was unbelievably cold that day.
Yes.
I remember that. It was brutal. It was brutally cold. But yeah, no, Tommy.
I've lived here my whole life, and I've never been able to. I've not been able to speak. Because
not been
of
that cold.
He was having a couple beverages to warm himself up. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
You know why I pulled you over? Because it's cold and my driving's bad.
What else is going on in the world of Wisconsin?
Lots going on. Where do we even start with all of the stuff that's happening? I feel like we have this like segment to recombobulate on the news of the week, and I'm going to leave today discombobulated because there's just
so much
happening with the shutdown. You were talking about this before, the President Trump's spiritual advisor.
This is going to get skipped.
Yeah.
Because again, and we've talked about this a couple times this week, there is so much news on a daily basis.
It's really
difficult to prioritize what we should cover because we have a limited period of time. And a lot of things, I think, end up flying under the radar just because there is so much. I think this is important. Robert Morris, this from NBC News. Robert Morris, who was Donald Trump's one of his spiritual advisors, Texas megachurch pastor, pleads guilty to sexually abusing a child under a plea agreement. He was given 10 years. He's going to serve 6 months.
Yep.
He started assaulting this girl when she was 12. She was 12.
But Jane, it's not always, there's more to the story than that. He's got a story to tell. He's got thoughts on why this happened.
Well, his lawyer in 2007 wrote a letter suggesting the victim bore responsibility for the inappropriate behavior between her and Morris when she was a child. She was 12.
I really think that's Civic
so infuriating.
Yeah.
And what was the sentence you said?
He got 10 years.
Six months, though.
And?
6 months. He'll serve 6 months. This happens all the time.
All the time.
It does.
I saw a video of a man who, in front of his church, a mega church, was admitting to having inappropriate relationships with children, and he did it in such a way that made it sound like he was sorry, and everyone gave him a standing ovation and raised their hand because it felt like he was confessing his sins to them. Like, no, this is a criminal. This is a criminal. This is a flat-out criminal who should be in jail, because all of you are always talking about how awful the pedophiles are, and guess what? They are. I think we could agree on that. But when it comes time, when the rubber hits the road, and the punishment needs to be doled out, people seem to run away or say he's safe.
He's repented.
Yeah,
and it's forgiven when we forgive him.
Yeah.
If a spiritual advisor to President Biden or President Obama were in the same situation, Fox News would run this 24/7.
There would be new networks popping up on a daily basis just to talk about this.
And it wouldn't even be the fact that if they had done this, if there was the slightest of accusation, period. That's it. That's all it would take.
Yeah.
And I think that Civic Media could have its own show, its own weekend podcast show, where they highlight every single week all of these individuals who are getting arrested, charged, jailed, because it's happening all the time.
And there are numerous people within the Trump orbit, maybe not in the administration, but around the Trump orbit, who have already been convicted or are accused. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow someone who will make your head explode because she does a daily tally of men, lawyers, judges, youth pastors, youth coaches,
cops.
It's not drag queens, shockingly. No drag queens. Her name is Bex, B-E-K-S. Follow Bex on Twitter. Yeah. It will open your eyes in a very, very, very disturbing way. We will lighten things up, I promise, on the other side. News is coming up next. Dan Schaefer is here, so we're recombobulating. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he'll sue the White House over its efforts to send California National Guard members to Portland, Oregon. It comes after a federal judge earlier this weekend blocked the deployment of Oregon's own Guard troops to that city. Another day and still no deal to open the government. Democrats are looking to undo cuts to Medicare, and Senator Cory Booker tells ABC's This Week it's an unprecedented point in U.S. history.
We are, for the first time in America ever, we're on a moment where, because of Donald Trump's attacks on Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, on the verge of tens of millions of Americans losing their health care and most of Americans experiencing a significant rise in their health care costs.
Republicans are demanding a clean bill funding the government into November. And investigators are still searching for the suspects in yesterday's mass shooting in Montgomery, Alabama. Police say one individual was being targeted, but it spiraled into a larger incident. This is ABC News.
The crew clobbers the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting ready for game two of their playoff series with the Cubs a little after 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3 thanks to scoring six runs in the first inning against Cubs starter Matthew Boyd, who only lasted an inning. After the loss, Cubs manager Craig Counsell was asked.
Craig, even though he threw 58 pitches, is 3 days rest always that dicey sort of situation no matter what?
Yeah, I mean, we picked Matt Boyd to pitch. I don't know what to say. He pitched. He pitched, it didn't go well. We got to make decisions. I was very comfortable putting Matt Boyd on the mound.
The Brewers' Jackson Chourio had to leave the game after running to first to beat the throw, Pat Murphy.
He's getting the MRI right now. You know, obviously it's real scary having that same hamstring injury to the same leg.
College football, the Badgers started a new quarterback, Hunter Simmons, who led the team on an opening scoring drive, but Wisconsin losing at Michigan 24-10. With sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and storms, a low around 49. Monday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Clear skies Monday night, chilly with lows in the mid to upper 30s. Sunshine 65 on Tuesday, mid-30s Tuesday night, a little on the frosty side.
Right now, it's 65.
Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm here.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Dan Schaefer is here. He joins us every Friday. Author of and creator of the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. This is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, lighten things up a little bit. We clean Audio Sorbet.
I wanted you to do it, but okay.
We clean your ears with fun.
There it is.
Oh, look. Yeah. Ah, I like it.
That's my brother. My brother's here to do it. He's $50 an hour. He can also do your plumbing.
We clean your ears with fun during Audio Sorbet, and you wanted to talk about what people do during a bye week.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've got Packers have the week off.
Thank
and I
God.
Think those of us in Wisconsin who treasure our Packers Sundays need to recognize the bye week and plan appropriately.
Plan accordingly?
Plan accordingly.
There's that three and a half hour gap in your Sunday?
I mean, it really takes, Packers Sunday, it takes over your whole day. If you're a real Packers fan, it kind of takes over your whole day, right? So this weekend, you got to do the things that you would normally do if there was no Packers season, like on a weekend. So, I would say this is the weekend, husbands of Wisconsin, recommend to your wife that you should go to a pumpkin patch.
Okay.
Make the recommendation on your own.
You'll be a hero.
That you're going to a pumpkin patch.
You'll be a hero.
And then she'll be so thrilled to hear that it was your idea and that you want to go.
What a husband.
And just go celebrate the charming atmosphere of a pumpkin patch in some sort of area in rural Wisconsin. Greg, what's happening?
Two things. One, I loved how you started, husbands, recommend your wives. And I'm like, oh no, where's this going? Also, if you know me, a pumpkin patch is within the brand of Greg Bach to be like, let's go to a pumpkin patch and drink cider and look at cornfields.
But again, that's a great way to take up Sunday.
Oh yeah.
It is.
It's
you're going to go at some point this fall.
Yeah.
Do it this weekend while the Packers are on a bye. You can make the whole day of it. It'll be great.
Yeah. I like that one.
What are your plans for the Packer bye week? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. That is today's Audio Sorbet question. What are your plans for this Sunday? Are you just going to have to do chores now? Is that what it's going to be?
Part of it too. Yeah. If you have house projects, that would be another thing to do.
That's why you want to suggest the pumpkin patch first for the husbands of Wisconsin. Yeah. Suggest the pumpkin patch first. Maybe you'll get out of the chores.
That's a great name for Husbands of Wisconsin. An advice show with Dan Schaefer.
Andrew from Maine texting in, listening on WAUK. If you are bored with the Packers bye week, don't forget to cheer for the Lions.
Okay.
Well,
why not?
I wasn't going to do that, but...
There are Packers fans who will watch all football all day Sunday, even though the Packers aren't playing.
Yeah, well, that's another suggestion.
My friends at Milwaukee Record, shout out Milwaukee Record, did a list of 25 things to do during the Packers bye. And some of it is just promoting events that are happening in and around Milwaukee this weekend, like Adam Sandler playing at Fiserv Forum and things like that. Other things are just like, get some hot ham and rolls as a recommendation.
That sounds good.
Go to a movie. Stop and smell the coffee.
Okay.
Do some house projects. Watch the WNBA finals. There's lots of different stuff. So I would check out that list for.
I got it on the show notes. We will include it in the show notes. Yeah, I mean, if it's a night, I have a project. I have a garage project that needs to be done before it gets too cold. But I need a nice day out, like a non-rainy day out. Doesn't even matter if it's cold. Even if it was like in the 40s, this doesn't matter. I need to pull the cars out of the driveway and take everything out of the garage. And I need to clean the walls. It's cleaning. It's like, is there stuff? And the floor, I want to clean the floor. I want to power wash the floor. And I want to put everything back in a very, if you saw my garage right now, it is on the cusp of disaster. If I put everything to the left, we can park one car in there. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to park both cars in the winter, so I bought some really nice shelving that I can put on the walls and get stuff off the floor, throw away some paint, because apparently you can't recycle paint. You just got to throw it away. Thanks, environment. But if Sunday is nothing going on, I think that's what I need. I need to get up and just go right into the garage and start doing it.
I think that's an important thing, too, though, with chores like that.
Yeah.
Because if I'm really good at anything, it's procrastination. Mm-hmm. Just ask my husband. I will put off stuff I have to do for as long as humanly possible. And if I know I'm bad with that, I am. It's terrible. Yeah. And if I know I have a chore, I'll find all kinds of other things to do to avoid doing that chore. So I think you're really smart and get up and just go right out to the garage and start it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have to check the news first, and I'm going to have my cup of coffee and I'll check the news, and then I'll do that for an hour and a half. And look, I found this thing.
And you went down this rabbit hole, and now
I don't have to do my chores.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I cleaned the dishwasher. No one asked you to do that, but.
But I did.
Someone give me credit.
What are you going to do this Sunday while the Packers are off? 855-752-4842. What are your plans for the Packer bye week? Roger from Stevens Point. Nakusa is hosting their annual Pumpkin Fest this weekend.
There you go.
That works.
Perfect opportunity.
Liz from Sockville.
See, they timed it out. Nakusa knows what's up. Because they saw that Packers bye week. We said, that's the first weekend in October.
Let's sell
some pumpkins.
Husbands of Wisconsin.
Liz from Sockville, Autumn Acoustics Music Festival in Newburgh.
Oh.
Beautiful venue, 5 bands, food trucks, and treats. That sounds great. It's going to be a really nice weekend.
Okay. I like food trucks and treats.
And live music.
Yeah, and live music. All Absolutely. Good things.
What are you going to do for the Packers bye week? 855-752-4842. Michael from Tosa. Cusp of Disaster sounds like a band name.
And they'll be playing in half of my garage this weekend. And Jaria says, speakeasy scavenger hunt in Appleton this weekend. Oh, sounds like a bar crawl. Sounds like a fancy bar crawl.
Sounds like fun.
Now, we got the news got heavy today. There's a lot going on. And we're in the middle of audio sorbet. We're lighting it up, and we're talking about the Packers. And earlier we talked about I would say, there's Reagan's speech at the wall, Lincoln's Gettysburg address, and then Tommy Thompson's addressing the Green Bay fans in 1996.
When they won the Super Bowl.
We have a small clip for you all just to give you a proof of what we were talking about. Calvin, can you play the clip of former Governor Tommy Thompson addressing the good people of Green Bay and the world?
There are 30 teams
but only one Packer organization.
That word.
And that is the greatest football organization ever in America's history.
I love you, man.
We have the greatest owners, the greatest coach, the greatest players, and the greatest fans.
Fans.
You're gonna wipe your mouth after you hear that. You're like, oh, did I do that? Here comes one more.
This is America's team in America's state.
There it is.
We are an American state.
We are. Yes, we do you think he ad-libbed that line, or do you think that was written out beforehand?
State in America. I think he winged the whole thing.
Guys, I don't know if you heard it, but I did a little improv in that speech. You never guess. It's America's state.
But again, Tommy Thompson was not alone in imbibing, and it was unbelievably cold that day.
It is a quintessentially Wisconsin moment to see the governor of your state speak like that at Lambeau Field. I love Wisconsin.
What are you going to be doing on the Packers bye week? Dan, do you have any? Are you going to be pumpkin farming it up? Or are you going to be hanging out with the fam? What do you plan on doing this Sunday?
Busy weekend for the fam. My daughter's birthday is coming up, so we got her friend's birthday party this weekend.
Gotcha.
And then her birthday's coming up next week. So.
Nice.
And are you throwing a huge bash?
We're throwing a moderately sized bash. So saving the big bash for next year because it'll be her golden birthday.
Oh.
So this year we're, you know, she's really into Legos. So we're having a lot of Lego themed stuff this year, which I'm very excited about.
Does she have a specific kind of Lego she enjoys, or is it sort of just a let's just go for it?
So she'll get into like all of the princess castles. Mm-hmm. We built pretty much all of the Disney princess castles at our house. I think we have some new ones that she's doing. But now she's started to like not just go, you know, whatever thing is there. She likes to just build stuff on her own.
And that's awesome.
That right there is amazing. And, there is amazing. That's awesome. I love that.
A little a little architect in training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said she wants to be an engineer. She's like, I'm excited about
that.
Oh,
great.
Wow. There we go. Calvin, do you have any plans for the Packer bye this weekend? Is there anything cooking up in the Butenhoff residence for just relaxing?
Well, as a surprise to no one, no, not really. We'll probably just take it easy. You know, it is officially October, so maybe I will watch some horror movies or something.
There you go.
Oh.
Great.
Which, and like, what would be your horror, what would be your first go-to horror film to get in the mood for Halloween?
To get in the mood for Halloween? That's a tough question. Hmm. I don't really know. I'm not a big movie rewatcher, especially horror movies. I will say Hereditary is a very scary, very well-written movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
So you're not going back to like, I kick it off with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm. Just the classics.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me, but I've never seen I've never seen Friday the 13th, Halloween, or Nightmare on Elm Street.
I've only seen Halloween, and it's because I made a deal with my wife to watch one horror movie a year, and that was 5 years ago, and I haven't watched one since. So, I got you. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't ever watch them. Don't watch any of those movies. They're scary.
So she's a horror movie.
My
fan?
Wife, she loves. Okay, my wife loves horror movies so much. But the person who loves horror movies even more is her sister, my sister Tara. Tara watches Italian, Portuguese, Spanish horror movies. She watches all of, like, I don't even understand why. I don't understand why Tara ever became friends with me. I don't understand why my wife married me. They love horror movies, and they just have that thing. There's something in the brain, and I'm not saying it's a bad. In fact, I wish I had it. There's a little switch. For me, horror movies give me so much anxiety.
I agree.
That I cannot enjoy it. And there are people out there like, I love being scared. I'm like, I wish I could. And plus, the mythology of these movies are amazing. They're so fun, whether it's behind the scenes or the actual characters themselves. And I'm just like, I'm scared. I'm going to put my head in your shoulder. I'm so scared. Like, at one point, we started watching Halloween. We got 5 minutes in, and my wife looked at me and goes, are you going to be okay? And then I got a little insulted. I'm like, this movie was made in 1978, okay? Let's just be real. And I was...
I was fine.
See, but I'm with you. I can't watch horror movies.
Yeah.
And I don't like watching them either because it's always just like, well, yeah, don't go in that garage with the knives.
I know you heard the noise in the attic. Yeah. Don't go in the attic.
You all have cell phones. Call a cop.
Not going to end well for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I grew up in a funeral home. And it's like, no, I have dead bodies downstairs. It's not. I don't need horror movies. We're good. We're good. We got to cover it.
I don't need this as an escape. I have my life.
Yes. Yeah. Just go to the basement. We can find Mrs. Schmidtke down there. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing is how we're going to wrap things up. Today it is the Sock It To Me edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm easy like Sunday morning.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we will have Brewers for you tomorrow on certain Civic Media stations. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. The first pitch goes out at 1:05. But you can listen to the game tomorrow on terrestrial radio. If you're in Richland Center, WRCE, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM Park Falls, WBZH Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Go Brewers! Hosting the Cubbies, our broadcast starts tomorrow at 12:35.
And this is just a message to the Cubs out there. If you want to just stop now, give up, and say, you know what, we're fine. This is a good season anyways.
It was really fun.
It was great. It was all about the playing together as a team and just, you know, the spirit of the great of America's pastime. I gotcha. I respect that. So if you want to quit now, gotcha. And all those people from the north side who are afraid of Chicago, stay home. You're good.
You don't have to come up here.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. Suburbs, schmuburbs.
Just stay in Illinois.
I hear there's like a Olive Garden where you live.
There's a lot of things going on in Northern Illinois this weekend. You don't need to come up. Coming up on the show on Monday, Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman is going to be here to recap things from the weekend. And in hour number two, we're going to talk about book bans. Because this has not gone away.
Yeah, no.
And it's one of the numerous things that kind of gets lost in the other fire hose of news that's coming all the time. But we're going to be talking to Jackie Leiden along with several other folks. And we're also going to hear from a school psychologist about the effect this has on kids. Because that's who we're all concerned about.
Yeah.
Right? Our children.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about book bans. And the ramifications of that, in some communities, they have banned the Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah. I think what you just said was very important, too. It hasn't gone away. We've just moved our attention because there's so much happening.
There's so much other stuff.
This is how they like it.
Absolutely.
When you're not looking and all of a sudden you're like, hey, where's that book? Oh, it's banned. What?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Monday. 10:06.
10:06.
Yep.
Join us for that.
Please.
It is 10:55, Calvin. It is getting very late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from NJ.com. The headline reads, New Jersey toll cheat used socks to avoid paying $18,000. Cops say the scam... stinks. The 51-year-old New Jersey man who racked up more than $18,000 in unpaid tolls was arrested a couple of weeks ago. Here's what he did.
Yeah.
He put a pair of socks and he hung them over his license plate to just block out like two numbers or two letters.
Yeah.
The 51-year-old pulled over after authority police said they noticed black socks stretched over the license plate on his white Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
He did not have an easy pass and used the socks to dodge toll cameras. They determined he owes Port Authority over $18,000. He's been charged with theft of services, tampering with a government document, driving on a suspended license, and improper display of plates.
He's also announced he's going to run for governor of New Jersey next year. I just think it's very funny that this guy thought to himself, and I'll do the accent, hey, man, I'm just going to put some socks over my license plate. It'll work.
Yeah.
It's not like they can't look at the car, the color, the driver, the other numbers on the license itself.
Yeah, they did find him.
You just don't understand why, like, oh, I would be an awesome criminal because I think of other things to...
A broader scope.
Yeah, and also $18,000. So what, he went to New York three times? So that's how much he owes?
That's probably far off.
That's a cost of living joke right there.
But
that's
again, you know, you're driving a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Maybe you can afford the tolls.
The easy pass. I'm not here shilling for a big easy pass. But having one of those passes on your car makes so much sense. First of all, you get in and out cheaper. Second of all, it's always there. It replenishes your card automatically. If you drive a Mercedes-Benz and you have black socks, you can afford it.
You probably can.
I just, you know he was telling everyone. You know he was at bar saying, you never believe what I did. And they're like,
I've never paid a toll.
You've also never paid child support, Vincent, ever.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
You're going to try and cheat on tolls. Try maybe nut socks. Maybe try something
else. I mean, just don't pay.
No, just pay.
All right, let me rephrase. You should always pay your tolls, pay your fees, pay your fines, live up to the responsibilities you have. But if you're going to cheat the system, why bring socks into it? How can you think that's a mastermind idea? Good Lord.
All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it is just a tiny little bit. And you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, who will have a keyword for you for our final day of our multi-state text win go for the green and gold contest.
Go Brewers.
Go Brewers. News is coming up next. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you on Monday.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The Trump administration has sidestepped Oregon's courtroom victory to help keep its National Guard from patrolling the streets of Portland, with the White House now federalizing the California National Guard. ABC's senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
At a gathering of top military leaders this week, Trump suggested using so-called dangerous cities in the U.S. as training grounds for soldiers.
No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms.
The White House is defending the president's move, saying that it is within his authority to send in the troops to protect federal officers in Portland.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom says he's suing the White House over the deployment. Both sides still at an impasse to resolve the government shutdown, which is now in its fifth day, and investigators are searching for the suspects in last night's deadly mass shooting in Montgomery, Alabama, which left two people dead. This is ABC News.